Welcome everybody to Word of Life Church. It's awesome to be back here. It's been since March, and here we are. Hallelujah! We're here. We made it. It feels good to be back. We've done all that we know to do. We have the air purifiers going, and so we've got the hand sanitizing stations. We've got those masks, you know, and so we're doing all that we know to do to assure everyone's safety to the best of our physical natural ability. And this morning we brought in the supernatural as we prayed. So okay, we're covered on all fronts. You know, last week we had a 4th of July message. That was an awesome time. You know, I've been hearing fireworks all week long. People are still celebrating. They're celebrating our freedom. All week long I've been hearing them. And so I shared a little bit last week about, you know, our country's history and how God and his word impacted the establishment of these United States and how it impacted our founding fathers. And I said, they had a lot of issues back then pulling this country together. And we see we've got some issues still that we're still working on. But I declare that we are living in the best nation on this planet. And so I'm just grateful. And then I said last week that this country's foundation it's been under attack. It's under attack currently. You know, there are those today who want to erase all of our history. And they want to take control over this nation. I used factual information. I used statistics that you can easily look up, you know, for yourself on the internet. And I used scriptural evidence to reveal the root, what's behind all of this, and we're seeing it unfold all across our nation, and it's actually the devil himself. And so we looked at John 10:10. Jesus said, "It's the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. I said that we can easily identify the spirit of what's behind all that we've been seeing, because God reveals it to us very clearly in his word. That which steals, that which kills, that which destroys is the enemy. It's that Antichrist spirit that's been influencing many people across our land, especially our young college-age students. Ralph, can you put up the first scripture? I usually say Kathy, but I don't. I've broken that. Now I can say Ralph. Ralphie. Okay. Ralphie. Got it. Okay. Ralphie. Thank you, Ralphie. So we're going to look at 1 John. If you have your Bibles, 1 John 4. Look on the screens. I'm going to look at verses 1 to 3 at the moment. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the land." Okay, verse 2. "By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." So what that scripture says, it says, you know, any spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is not of God, but of the Antichrist spirit. Did you know there are a number of business leaders that head up various sources that influence others? They don't believe in God. Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, is one of them. You might wonder why some of the very important Facebook pieces that were very informational may have disappeared. There's a reason behind that. There is a spirit behind it. There are many more. You can look them up. The founder of Microsoft, Bill Gates. The two founders of Google are atheists. The founder of Twitter follows an Indian Hindu guru. The founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, atheist. He was atheist. The founder of Tesla and SpaceX. That's Tesla's that electric car. None of them identify themselves as Christians. God is clearly identifying the spirit that we're dealing with in all this chaos and all the challenges that we've been seeing. And last week I revealed the agenda of the enemy, who uses and deceives many people and organizations to achieve his agenda. And that agenda is control. The agenda is control. That's the goal, to control. And, you know, that's been Satan's agenda ever since he turned against God, to control. And he's been deceiving people ever since to work his evil plots. And you know, because Satan needs people. Satan's a spirit. He needs people. He needs willing vessels that will allow him to flow through them. Unfortunately, he's got a lot of willing vessels that will do that. But he needs human beings. He needs physical bodies to accomplish anything in this physical realm here that we live on Earth. And he's deceived many into working his diabolical plots. So this battle that we're in, it is good versus evil. That's the battle. But I want to read the next verse that we were looking at. I want to read verse 4 of 1 John 4. Ralphie, thank you, Ralph. It says, this will encourage you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The greater one lives in you. Amen. That ought to encourage the socks off of everybody. That's awesome. Because he lives in you, you've already overcome. Oh, you've already overcome, and you're sealed by his Holy Spirit. There is a division in America, and we didn't know which side of that division that we're on. We need to know and not be confused by the world. You know, I see so many who claim to be Christians, but they're unable to discern good from evil. They're being seduced, you know, by some of these things in the world. It seems that many aren't able to decipher or discern what's of God and what isn't. The Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians 4:14, that we're not to be tossed to and fro like little children. You know, we're not to be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But we're supposed to speak the truth in love, not be silent, speak the truth in love. That we can all grow up in all the things of unto him who is the head, which is Christ. We need all our people to grow up in Christ. And as I concluded that message last week, and what has been actually revealed in several messages that I've presented now, that the problem, the root, the main problem, is sin. It is sin in the hearts of people. That's what we're seeing. I know a lot of the narratives have been to focus on the color of our skin, but the root of all that we've been seeing and what I've been presenting scripturally, statistically, it shows the deeper root, which is the condition of our heart. It's the sin. The root to all the evil that we've been seeing, all, you know, plastered on our television screens, the root is sin in our heart. Racism is sin in the heart. And so last week I was talking about this awesome pastor that I had been listening to recently, and who I believe has a lot of godly wisdom. a lot of godly wisdom, and he's got a whole lot of boldness to stand up in his pulpit and tell the truth. And so I had never heard of him before, but his name is Bishop E.W. Jackson. You can check him out. Wikipedia's got some, right? He's got a lot of information on there, but you can check him out on the internet. He's the pastor who boldly spoke up and said, he said, this is not a black and white issue. It's pure evil, what we're seeing. It's evil. He nailed that right on the head. And he said, if you remember last week, he said, we have to think differently about race, or we'll continue to have the same old thing we've been getting. We have to think differently. And he specifically said, we must not focus on skin color. We must not focus on skin color, but focus on the real problem, which is the sin in the heart. And I said last week that there was someone who made an awesome comment. I didn't remember who I heard it from, but I parked some of these things in my head, so I was checking through my notes to see who it was, and it was this guy. It was E.W. Jackson, and he said, when you die and your spirit goes before God, is your spirit, are you black or white? Is your spirit black or white? It's neither. God doesn't see us as black and white. He sees our spirit. Woo! And so he loves us all equally, all of us, every single one. Yet, skin color has been a major focus over all the media, the major media, the violent Marxist groups that we've been hearing from, and left-wing radicals. But the Apostle Paul said this, Ralphie, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, he said that we are to regard no one according to the flesh. We are to regard no one according to the flesh. Where's our skin color? Where's the pigmentation? In our flesh. Paul says, we're to not look at that. Because God sees us, he sees our spirit. He sees our spirit. He sees, and he can see in our spirit who's for him and who's against him, who's lost. So, I said that white supremacy is wrong. Black supremacy is wrong. Yellow supremacy is wrong. It's all a sin, all of it. The only one who is supreme is God himself. Amen. It's God. But there's something else I want to share with you that this pastor said. He said that our identity cannot be in our skin color. And this pastor happens to be black, by the way. And he said, if you believe your race is what defines you, he said, then you have revealed what your true God is. He said, that becomes your idol. And he said, if you believe that your political party defines you, then you've revealed what your true God is. And he said, when push comes to shove, you will always serve your true God. Who or what do you exalt? That's so much of what we've been seeing all over our television screens across the nation. It is an anti-God spirit. And I was so interested in listening to this man. I had never met him before, but I was tuned into him. And so I was impressed by him. He was very level-headed. He was bold as a lion. Very bold. He has much godly wisdom. And I want to listen to his perspective of all that we're seeing, And so I actually did some further research on him, and I found out that he was born in Pennsylvania. And actually, not too far from here. He was born in Chester, Pennsylvania. Neighbors. And I found out that he was the great-grandson of slaves in Orange County, Virginia. He lives in Virginia now. But his outlook, his perspective, it was so refreshing. So refreshing to hear what he had to say in contrast to what you'll see on major media. Very strong contrast. So I thought, you know, wow, this man's voice needs to go out all through this country. And, I believe that God is speaking through him. And this is what he said. He says, your skin color cannot define you. Your political party cannot define you. Your identity must be in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, Jesus is the one who died for us. He died for that sin problem that we're seeing, manifest all over this land. And he's the only one. Jesus was the only one that died for every single one of us. You know, I thought, wow, you know, this black pastor and this white pastor, we're in agreement. We're in unity in this thing. It's awesome. It doesn't matter what the skin color is. Our spirits are identical. They're the same. And so he said this. This guy's bold. He said, Al Sharpton didn't die for us. He said, Barack Obama didn't die for us. He said, Jesse Jackson didn't die for us. He said, Jesus is the only one who died for all of us. He said, we got to stop putting racial loyalty above loyalty to Jesus. Bold as a lion, this guy. Oh, I couldn't stop listening to him. He was so awesome. Yeah, we got to stop putting party loyalty above loyalty to Jesus. You know, he said, I like Donald Trump. I believe God has placed Donald Trump in this position for such a time as this. But he said, Donald Trump didn't die for our sins. Amen. It was Jesus. And so, Ralphie, Matthew 6:33. Scripture says, seek first. Jesus is saying this. It's in red letters in my Bible. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Bishop Jackson said this. He said, I miss that verse that said, seek first social justice. He said, I missed the verse that said, seek first racial justice or gender justice or seek redistribution of wealth or seek first the government or seek first to protest or to loot or plunder or steal or rob or kill. No, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are our orders. Those are our directives. And he says, all these things that we have need of, all these concerns that we have, all the answers to those concerns that we have, they will be added unto us. Isn't that cool how God works? Woo, we just got to cooperate with him. And then this pastor said this. He said, anything else is idolatry. Whoa. Whoa, wrap your head around that one. This guy wasn't holding anything back. Ooh. Man, he was, and he was spot on. The guy was spot on. Bishop Jackson said, he said, someone once asked him, how could you not support Barack Obama? How could you not? You know, he's referring skin color, you know? And the bishop said this, he's very bold, very bold. He's not quiet. He's very political. He answered this. He said, very easily. He said, he is not with Jesus. Therefore, I am not with him. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, when you get into scripture, it really puts things into perspective, you know. And so he said that Jesus said that you will know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. We need strong discernment in the church, people. We need strong discernment. He said Barack Obama went to a foreign country and he declared that America is not a Christian nation. What he was saying was, I'm not a Christian and I don't want America to be Christian either. But Bishop Jackson said America is a Christian nation, whether you like it or not. America was founded on godly principles and values. And I've shared over and over again the Christian values, the principles that this nation was established on. I did that again last week in our message, which, by the way, Ralph has on Podbean. It's on Podbean. Word of Life Church, PA.podbean.com. But I've also shared how our foundation has been attacked viciously for decades, and that's what we're seeing in all of our major cities today, all across this land. And I know the enemy, you know, the far left, the radicals, the Marxists, the socialists. I know the enemy does not like to hear what that Bishop E.W. Jackson is saying, because it goes against their agenda. It goes against their agenda. Bishop Jackson said that churches, predominantly, you know, black churches that have a lot of black people in their congregations, he said that they would invite Louis Farrakhan into their churches to preach. But he said he would never allow him anywhere near his congregation, not within 100 miles, because he said he doesn't know Jesus. Amen. He doesn't know Jesus. He's not going to be preaching the gospel. And he said, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. We need more preachers like Bishop E.W. Jackson in their pulpits, who have strong discernment and boldness to speak the truth and not be afraid to tell the truth from their pulpits. And that bishop also shared in the video that I was watching, he said that his life has actually been threatened because of the truths that he shares from his pulpits. But he said, I can't change it because it's the truth. I have to share the truth. Now, the FBI has been called in, and they're researching all that, but we have to lift that guy up in prayer because he's doing what God has called him to do. I can tell you that Bishop E.W. Jackson is a card-carrying member of the Black Robe Regiment. We're going to need a whole lot more like him, but I was able to explain that story briefly to some pastor friends that we were out to lunch with this week, and I shared how I asked them if they knew what the Black Robe Regiment was. They said no, we never heard of it, and I said, well, neither did I, but one day God told me I was supposed to teach from the pulpit on the Black Robe Regiment. What's a Black Robe Regiment? I didn't know what that was. And so I had to do some research, and you all can do some research on it yourself. But the Black Robe Regiment were the pastors in their pulpit during our Revolutionary War, speaking truths and encouraging our founding fathers to go out and do what they did. They were called the Black Robe Regiment because they were wearing black robes. They wore black robes behind their pulpit. That's why they were called the Black Robe Regiment. Okay, and so this was our story goes back to 2016 when God told me that's what I was supposed to be teaching on, and some of you were here at that time, but we were it was right before the presidential election, and it was. it was, you know, a lot of stuff going on for that election. But what you're allowed to do in the church is you're allowed to hand out voter guides. So I had contacted several ministries. Billy Graham's ministry. There was the Pennsylvania Coalition. They all had voter guides to help people to decide, you know, who stands for what? What do I vote? Who do I vote for here? And so we had voter guides back there on this particular day. And so I'm teaching about the Black Robe Regiment. These are just these pastors. They're boldly standing behind their pulpits, preaching the truth and not fearful that anyone's going to come against it. They're just speaking the truth. They're doing what God told them to do. And as a result of that, that empowered these founding fathers who were sitting in their congregations to go out and win our freedom from Great Britain. Okay, so here I am. I'm teaching about that in the Black Robe Regiment. And then, you know, we finished the teaching, and my husband, he handles all the signs upstairs. So he goes upstairs, and he's bringing in the signs. But while we were, you know, teaching on the Black Robe Regiment, someone had come and dropped off voter guides, these voter guides. There were several stacks of them up there. Gary brings them down and he hands them to me, and people are still mulling around. You know, people don't like to leave afterwards. They're fellowshipping. And he shows me this voter guide. I'm like, oh. And I'm looking at this voter guide. I'm like, whoa, this is the best voter guide I've seen. It shows clearly who believes in what. What they stand for and what they, you know, the first one here was appoint or confirm pro-life judges. Hillary Clinton said no. Donald Trump said yes. And if you go down the whole list of all those things, they don't agree on anything. So, you know, however you feel led, you could easily see the division there and how to vote. I said, this is the best voter guide I've ever seen. Who printed it? And so my eyes go down to the bottom of the page. It says, paid for by the National Black Robe Regiment in Texas. I didn't know that there was a Black Robe Regiment still in operation. But I can't make this stuff up, guys. So I had it laminated. I had to have it laminated. So I will get voter guides for this year from this organization. And the interesting thing was, these voter guides that were left up there, I mean, no one's ever done that before. We were when I was given that message, we were the only place that was open. We have, you know, dentists and lawyers in here, but they weren't there on a Sunday morning. But they dropped off these voter guides, and it wasn't even for our district. Where is this district, honey? Wilkes-Barre? It wasn't supposed to, I mean, you know, it. God got these. I'm telling you, it's a God story. It's just a God story, and it's just powerful, just powerful. So we will have those voter guides. But Bishop Jackson is a spiritual card-carrying member of the Black Robe Regiment, that society. And can I tell you, I will declare that I have been a member since I said yes to God. So anyway, we don't always wear the black robe, but we do declare the truth unapologetically, unhindered, unadulterated from this platform. And so, you know, that bishop, that's Bishop Jackson's identity. His identity is in Christ. And that's where our identity needs to be as we move through all these challenges, all these things that are facing our country. We need discernment. We need to know what is God and what is not. We need to know what's good, what's evil. And we have to follow God. You know, knowing our identity in Christ helps us to discern those things. And so knowing what God stands for, what he's against, you know, by studying the word, reading his word, we find out, you know, what God is for, what he's against. You know, we need to know who he is in us. We just need to know our identity, and that helps us to maintain our identity in Christ when the world wants to shape and mold us into what they want us to be. And so you know, what they think that we should be and what we should say. You know, I found out I was told recently that there are some people who get very offended at the phrase, all lives matter. Some people get very offended at that. But do you know what God says? All throughout his scripture, he says, all lives matter. He said, I'll leave the 99 to go get that one. God says, all lives matter. All. He doesn't look at skin color. He looks at your spirit. If your idol, if your God is your skin color, it's very easy to get offended at that statement. Just saying. You know, when you turn on the news and you find out what's happening all over our country, you almost have to ask yourself, has the world gone mad? You know, up and down, it's crazy. You know, people have shared their anxiety, you know, what we're seeing. But we have to find ourselves, we have to find our soundness, our solidness, our identity in Christ. He's our solidness. He's our soundness. Christ doesn't change. This whole world is changing every day, but God doesn't change. A few years ago, I was asked to speak at a women's conference, and I thought it was pretty neat. It was a women's conference, and they had asked three women pastors to speak. One was Hispanic, one was Black, and one was white. I was the white one. I was the blonde one. Oh, no, the Hispanic was blonde too. Oh my gosh. And so, you know, as I normally do, I ask God, what do you want me to share with these women? You know, what am I supposed to speak on? And he said, I want you to talk about your identity in Christ. I remember Pat at that same time was asked to speak, was that to a women's group in Bethlehem? And she asked God the same thing, what am I supposed to speak on? And God told her the same thing. So it was God connection there too. The main focus of the entire conference was on prosperity for women. You know, spirit, soul, and body, prospering in all areas. And doing well and succeeding and prospering all has to do with our identity in Christ. All of it. Knowing who we are in Christ. And in that conference, I shared a number of things that Scripture reveals about our identity, you know, as Christians. Knowing what God says about us helps to anchor us. It helps us it strengthens us in the midst of chaos and all kinds of things, you know, going on. Especially, that would be a good thing to focus on right now with the things that we're facing. And so one thing that I shared was that as a Christian, as a joint heir with Christ, we have a position of authority in the spirit realm that we need to know about. You know, we're already seated in heavenly places with Christ. I was going to say, Kathy, Ralphie, could you bring up Ephesians 1:21, which says, we're seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's talking about our spiritual authority. And so authority is part of our identity in Christ. We need to know that. Another scripture, I don't have it up on the screen. You may all have it memorized. I have it plastered on my bedroom wall as a border. Luke 10:19 says that Jesus has given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Nothing. And so that encourages me, you know, that I have authority over sicknesses, over viruses. You know, I can exercise that authority by resisting the devil, by you know, using my mouth and speaking God's word over my family, over our church family, as we did today. Protection from those principalities and powers and might and dominion. And over every name that is named. And, you know, this week I got a call from someone who was directed by Andrew Womack Ministries to contact us, they're dealing with something, and so they called and they have a lot of questions. You know, they're just learning about some of these things, and so they told me about the battle that they're in, and they said, you know, we know we have authority, but they know that in here, they know that in their heart, and they keep that to themselves. I said, no. We do have authority, but you have to exercise that authority in order to release it. So remaining quiet and just knowing that you have authority does not release the power of God. It won't get rid of the sickness in your body. And so you have to speak it. You have to command that illness to leave. Mark 11:23 says, whoever says to this mountain, it doesn't say whoever thinks about the mountain. It says, whoever says to that mountain, you got to speak it. You have to exercise your authority with this mouth. You got to use your mouth. Authority in the spirit realm has to be spoken. That's how it's released. And I referred to also Romans 10:9-10 for these people that says, confess with your mouth, confess, speak it with your mouth, and believe it in your heart. You need those two to be in agreement. But you must use your mouth. And so this is a spiritual battle that we're in. We're seeing, you know, it's good versus evil. And the more that we're reminded of who we are in Christ, the greater the peace will be as we go through these next weeks. And, you know, who knows what they're going to, I don't know what they're going to look like the next weeks, the months, years, who knows. I do believe that we're going to continue to have some challenges in this world, but praise God, he's already overcome it, right? So our trust, our peace, our identity must be in Jesus. Gotta be. That's it. Right now, worry and concern are rampant across our country. Anxiety is at an all-time high. Medication for anxiety and depression is being prescribed, I'm told, in record numbers. The Bible does say that in the last days, men's hearts would fail, right? Men's hearts will fail because of fear, because of, you know, apprehension of the things that they're seeing, that things that are coming. But that's not supposed to be for the Christian, you know? That's not our identity. If you're anxious or worried, you know what? You may need to shut off some things, like television. You may need to shut off that Facebook. You may need to shut off Google or Twitter and focus on God. Focus on his word. I told this couple, everything else out, only God in. Don't be concerned about everything going on in the world. That's not what you need right now. You need this. You're in a battle. You need the word. We have spiritual weapons, and we've got to use them. And we have to know how to use them. Jesus said this, Ralphie, in John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Who's the subject of that sentence right there? You are. You don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If our hearts are troubled, that's a good indicator. Get everything else out. Focus back on him. Get back on him. We need to allow that peace that passes all understanding to flood us, to flood our spirit, soul, and body. God's peace is actually one of the fruits of the Spirit in our born-again spirit. We release it. We can release that peace by focusing on his word, by declaring his word over our situation, over our country. I shared this next scripture, Philippians 4:8, with someone recently. It's a beautiful scripture to help us maintain, you know, our peace during troubling times. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a good checklist to go down and just compare, you know, the thoughts that you're having. If it falls short in any of those areas, get rid of that thought. Pull that stronghold down. You know, you might be saying, oh yeah, this is true. Is it lovely? Oh, no, it's not lovely. Pull it down. If it doesn't meet that checklist, God gave that checklist to us. We need to use it. Pull them down. Peace is an indicator of what we're trusting in. Are you trusting in God? Is God your identity? Or is it the world? Where's your focus? Where's your identity? Where's your heart? And so if you're born again, you already have the peace of God in your born again spirits. And so during that women's conference that I was at, I can continue to share several other, you know, things that we have as our identity in Christ. And I started speaking about some other things that we have already in our born again spirit. I explained the whole spirit, soul, body teaching in that message. I condensed it, but I was able to share. And it was, I'll never forget this woman. It was an older woman who came up to me after the service, and she wanted to talk to me, and she came, and there were tears streaming down her face. And she said, I never heard that. All these years I've been going to church, I've never heard any of that. That woman was empowered that day. She found out who she was in Christ. She learned her identity. As we continue to meet, I am going to be focusing on our identity. That's a solid anchor for us through whatever's coming. You know, we need to stay focused on God, on His Word. It will keep us steady and at peace. God desires that we prosper in every situation. Doesn't matter what's going on all around the world, He wants us to prosper. Ralphie, can you bring up 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He's saying, I wish that you prosper in times of chaos and in times of peace, all times, in all things. That Greek word for prosper is, I'm going to destroy this word, euodao. Euodao. It means to prosper. It means to help on the road, you know, as you go through life. Or as situations come before you, you know, like COVID-19 or racial unrest. It means to succeed in reaching. It means to have a prosperous journey along this road that we call life. So the clear teaching in that scripture is that divine prosperity is not for it's not a one-time event. It's for our entire life. That's God's choice. That's His desire for us, even in these very critical, very challenging times. Our identity in Christ is key to maintaining peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for the encouragement and the peace and the strength, the equipping that it gives to us, especially in these challenging times like these that we're facing. Let Your peace reign in our hearts each and every day as we dwell in your presence and in Your word. Father, I thank You for the preachers who applied Your truths, who stood up in their pulpits boldly and declared Your word, especially like, you know, when we were facing this battle against Great Britain and we needed our freedom. I thank You, Father, for that black robe regiment, Lord, that without them, our country wouldn't be here today. So we thank you for their boldness, that they spoke the truth in order for us to win our freedom from Great Britain. But Father, I want to thank you for the Black Robe Regiment in their pulpits today, Lord, that are speaking the boldness. They have boldness to speak your word faithfully, trustworthily. Lord, they speak your word in boldness to help us maintain and keep our freedom. We thank you, Father. You have supplied everything. Wake up these pastors, Lord. Wake them up to your kingdom, to your righteousness, to seek your kingdom first. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you bless these United States of America. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God bless each and every one. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.